And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Bill Frank, and you are listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is dead weight. My first guest, Freeman Michaels, is a former soap opera star. He's also a successful motivational coach and workshop leader. He's developed a process of weight loss that helped him to shed 70 pounds. He's sharing his secrets of success with us. Joining us also on the line is my second guest. He's known as the Indiana Jones of the digital age. He's worked as an actor. He speaks seven foreign languages. He holds a world's record in tango. He is the national Chinese kickboxing champion. He'll talk to us about his latest book, which is titled The 4-Hour Body, An Uncommon Guide for Rapid Fat Loss, Incredible Sex, and Becoming Superhuman. Tim Ferriss is nominated as one of Fast Company's most innovative people for the year 2007. He's an angel investor in such companies as Stumbled Upon, Dig, and Twitter. He's the author of the number one New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Business Week bestseller, The 4-Hour Workweek. He's also an educational reformer, and if we have time, we'll talk to him about that as well. He out-fundraises traditional media figures such as Stephen Colbert 3-1 at zero cost in the process that he does. He's amassed a diverse and certainly an odd roster of experiences. Just some of the experiences that he has on the list. He's the first American in history to hold the Guinness record of world record for tango. He is a horseback archer in Nikko, Japan. He's the MTV breakdancer in Taiwan, and he's a hurling competitor in Ireland. Tim received his BA from Princeton University back in 2000, and he studied in the neuroscience and East Asian studies departments. He's 32 years old. Joining us now on the show is Tim Ferriss. Hi, Tim. How are you today?
Doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest. Clearly, you're a practitioner of what I shall call the experience economy. I mean, your life experiences are varied and unique. I just highlighted some of them. How did you develop your life experiences philosophy and become what you yourself call a lifestyle designer?
I think it started with my parents, quite frankly, and my mother in particular was very fond of exposing my younger brother and I to different environments, different learning opportunities, and if we really got caught on something, in my case like marine biology, then she would encourage us to really deep dive into those subjects. And it was that early love of learning that then helped prepare me for lessons later through a number of instructors and professors and athletic coaches. I've been a competitive athlete for many years and was in wrestling and kickboxing for many, many years. And when you start breaking down assumptions, particularly in sports, because you can test different approaches and see the outcomes so quickly, you realize the benefit of sometimes going against the grain. And if you look at, let's say, Dick Fosbury, this is a name most people don't know. Dick Fosbury founded a technique called the Fosbury flop.
Yes.
In high jump, which is what everyone recognizes now as the high jump. It's the back arch over the high jump. At the time, everyone else was doing it as a hurdle jump, and people yelled and screamed and held their hands to their heads when they saw him do this, and now it's the default technique because he did everything backwards.
Great example. We're talking to Tim Ferriss, everybody. And really, you've taken that whole lifestyle designer theory and you've applied it to your latest book, which is The 4-Hour Body. You've spent over 10 years and $250,000 to test on yourself every fad diet, every supplement, every workout, and you identified the critical few things that really work with the least commitment of time and effort. I love that. So tell us about your process and the conclusions that you came to.
So the process was extremely grueling. It took a long time to put this book together, three times longer than the 4-Hour Workweek. And part of that reason was that I was first identifying the top in their fields in various areas, whether that was fat loss or NASA scientists to look at how cold affected fat loss, ultra endurance, NFL combine. I looked at just about everything, sleep, sex, you name it. And then I would ask these experts, who are usually referred by many other experts, for their top 3 to 5 recommendations. And then I would test them on myself. If they worked on me and were safe, then I would also test them on men and women ranging from, let's say, 18 to 70 years old. My dad was one of those up at the higher range, around 65. He ended up losing 90 pounds of fat. And the findings were, across every one of these areas, that small changes oftentimes make the biggest difference. And you don't have to do a complete wholesale reinvention of your entire life, let's say, to lose body fat. It could start with something very simple that we saw in the data worked really, really well, such as replacing the milk in your coffee. I mean, it seems so small, but we noticed that in people who have 30 or more pounds of fat to lose, if they replace the milk in their coffee with cinnamon, as an example, which is actually really delicious, like Saigon cinnamon specifically, they could lose 2 to 4 additional pounds per week for the first month.
Wow.
And it's a dramatic amount of weight.
That is.
My dad, as an example, when he added, one of the instructions I gave him was 30 grams of protein within 30 minutes of waking up. And he did that by taking a Myoplex shake first thing upon waking. And his average monthly fat loss went from 5 pounds to 18.75 pounds, which is, of course, a threefold, 3X increase.
Again, another dramatic change in his life. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Very, very dramatic. And by the end of the experiment, he had lost 90-plus pounds of fat and gained 20 to 30 pounds of muscle. And this is as a 65-year-old guy who's also had multiple knee surgeries. So he was unable to do a lot of the exercises that I would have had him do. But I think what's important for people to realize is that if they really want lasting change, not only lasting change, but dramatic, measurable change in the outset, it's very important to be held accountable. And what we noticed when looking at people who had lost 100 or more pounds of fat or who had achieved incredible athletic endeavors, like running 100 miles, they almost always had a group, and very often involved a betting pool. it would be, let's say, you and 5 coworkers, you each put in $100, and you commit to, at the end of 6 months, seeing who has the fastest 5K time or who has lost the most body fat, something like that. And it's this fear of loss, this fear of losing that $100, and plus the reputation impact that drives people to maintain their schedules. It's not enough to just have a reward at the end. There has to be some risk of loss, and it sounds very negative, but it's not negative. It's human psychology, and it's very, very useful.
Well, it sounds powerful. We're talking to Tim Ferriss, everybody, author of the book, The 4-Hour Body, An Uncommon Guide to Rapid Fat Loss, Incredible Sex, and Becoming Superhuman. I want to stay on the subject, Tim, if I can, of the fat loss, and you describe something in your book known as the 4 Horsemen of Fat Loss. What are the 4 Horsemen?
So the 4 Horsemen are 4 constituent supplements, and the acronym is PAG, P-A-G-G. The first is polycosanol. The second is alpha-lipoic acid. The third is green tea extract, specifically for the EGCG in the green tea. And then the last is garlic. And the reason these 4 are used together is synergistically, they have a very impressive effect on accelerating fat loss, and they do it without strong stimulation. So one of the main problems with the majority of fat loss products is that they're extremely harsh stimulants that have very negative effects on the adrenal glands and other parts of the body, the sinuses, etc. And I'm as guilty of this as anyone else. I was introduced to a very strong stimulant called ephedrine hydrochloride,
sure,
which was taken off the market for a number of years because it can be freebased into methamphetamine. So that's part of the reason why Primatene Mist tablets have to be bought over the counter now. And it was combined, a very popular fat loss ingredient, and it caused serious long-term side effects for me and for dozens of my friends. And so the PAG stack specifically was tested over time and found to be effective as a non-stimulant alternative for accelerating fat loss. And part of the reason that works, there are many different mechanisms, but alpha-lipoic acid, as one example, increases insulin sensitivity, so it's basically doing the opposite of making you a diabetic. The green tea is, the EGCG in green tea is unique in the sense that it can cause mature fat cells to die, which is very hard to accomplish. That's part of the reason people regain fat very quickly, is that they decrease the size of their fat cells, but not the number. So those are the four horsemen of fat loss.
All right. Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate that. Now, one of the things that I like about your book, and you described this in the outset when you used the example of the Fosbury flop, that is that a lot of your thinking is unconventional thinking. It goes against the grain. And I just want to call you out on a couple of things that I read in the book that were counterintuitive to me, and I'd ask you to elaborate on them. First of all, in the book, you say, don't eat fruits. Now, I've always been told that, you know, you eat fruits because they have fiber and they're good for you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But your book points out that that's not the best way.
So fruit was a counterintuitive finding, like you said. Specifically fruit as it exists in the modern world, not as it existed 100 years ago, is engineered to have as much fructose or fruit sugar in it as possible because it tastes good and people eat more. Fructose, unfortunately, and this is true with sweeteners like agave nectar as well, is converted very effectively to fat. It's converted to glycerol phosphate, then to fat. And what we noticed with our case studies, and we tracked hundreds of people testing different approaches for fat loss, is that when people removed fruit 6 days a week, so you can certainly have it one day a week, there's a cheat day built into the program, then they were able to dramatically accelerate fat loss. And from a nutritional standpoint, if you look at it evolutionarily speaking, if you're coming from, let's say, a northern European ancestry or bloodline, how often were your ancestors eating fruit in the middle of winter? Probably not terribly often. So it's been fascinating to see the results of this, but that's definitely one of the more controversial pieces. But so far, I haven't seen any problems and only benefits from limiting fruit to one day a week.
And how do you counteract the loss of fiber by not eating the fruit? Do you have fiber supplements that you throw in there?
You can get fiber from all sorts of other foods. Lentils, you could certainly use fiber supplements. It tends not to be too much of a problem. You can get fiber from many other sources.
All right. We're talking to Tim Ferriss, author of The 4-Hour Body. And, Tim, you mentioned it already, but I want to come back and really delve into this a little bit more. In your book, you have it set up that in the plan there's one binge day per week. Now, that, too, sounds counterintuitive. So explain your thinking there, please.
It is counterintuitive, but there are a number of reasons for it. From a practical standpoint, people will binge or break their diet whether they schedule it or not. And by scheduling a very mini binge, a short-term binge on your most social of days, so for me that tends to be Saturday, you're able to limit the damage to a very short period. And you can do things like take the Four Horsemen, for example, to minimize fat gain during that period. And for many people, they don't gain any fat at all. And as an example, for one binge day in the book, I ate 7 times my resting metabolic rate for my binge day and ended up having lower body fat 2 days later. So there are ways that you can tweak that equation. The second reason is biochemically, when you spike your caloric intake once a week, you improve, among other things, thyroid hormone conversion. And that means that over time, you're able to sustain your fat loss for longer. And that's another reason for doing it that way.
Sort of like jump-starting your thyroid once a week just to remind it it's there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we found that 58% of the people who followed this approach found it was the first diet they were ever able to stick with. And I think that that's important because you can find the perfect diet, so to speak, that everyone quits after 3 weeks. And for our purposes, just meant that it wasn't worth including.
No, it absolutely does. We're talking to Tim Ferriss, everybody, talking about some of the counterintuitive ideas in his book, The 4-Hour Body. Another one that shocked me is that in the book you say canned foods are just as good as fresh foods.
Well, I should reword that. So I say that canned foods, in the beginning, when people are making one change, let's say substituting out certain foods and including new foods, is acceptable. So I say that canned foods are fine in the beginning. And just like B.J. Fogg at Stanford University, who's head of the Persuasion Lab, would say that if you try to teach, let's say, 50-year-olds how to quit smoking by texting, it fails very often because you're trying to get them to adopt 2 new behaviors. So if I force, let's say, a bachelor who's overweight to learn how to cook while at the same time changing the foods that he eats, it's just asking for abandonment. So I encourage people to focus on one change at a time. And in the beginning, if that means using canned foods or frozen foods, that's totally fine. Later on, if you want to use fresh foods, which would be preferable in most cases, then absolutely go for it. But I just insist that people focus on one change at a time.
All right, Tim. Now, another thing that I found interesting and kind of flies in the face of some of the research out there, you say eat high protein. That's one of the cornerstones of your study as well. But the China study that was done by Colin and the Campbells, that correlates high protein with cancer. There's a real strong correlation there. So if you do follow your high protein, aren't you increasing your risk of cancer?
So I'm very familiar with the China study. I should say that the China study is a book, but the actual China monograph, which was done by Oxford and others, his co-authors actually disagree with his conclusions. But what I would say is that isolated casein protein in some cases has been associated with increased cancer rates. What Colin neglected to say is that any complete protein that encourages any type of cell growth will encourage cancer. So it's, you're better off, I would say, focusing on the foods like starches and grains, which have been closely correlated as a constant for higher insulin levels that also precipitate some of these cardiovascular diseases, as well as cancer. So I would say that in this particular case, I'm also not advocating exceptionally high protein intake. It's just going to be higher than your standard American diet.
All right. That makes some sense. We're talking to Tim Ferriss, everybody. Tim, one of the things that your book talks about is becoming superhuman, living a longer life, living a more fulfilled life. What are some tips for living a longer, better life?
So when it comes to life extension, there are quite a few options that have been tested in the lab with different species. The problem is with many of them, like extended caloric restriction, you end up miserable. You might live a long time, but it's going to be a long, miserable life, and I don't view that as a terribly good option. So a number of options that would be better, in my opinion, would be, number one, donating blood every 3 months. This is something that number of the directors of centenarian studies in the U.S., so studies of those who have lived more than 100 years, also recommend. So donating whole blood every 3 months or so is something that can decrease the concentration of toxic iron buildup in the blood, among others, which many believe explains why women live longer than men. Men typically don't menstruate. Secondly, I would encourage people to consume 5 grams of creatine monohydrate per day. You can cycle on and off of this, but I do think that with regenerative medicine, if you have joint problems, superficial problems like that, those will be easy to fix or easier to fix in the next 10 to 15 years, but the brain is still the most sensitive and fragile, in many cases, of the organs that we have. So I encourage people to take creatine monohydrate, which has been shown as very promising for staving off the onset of things like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's.
And where do we find the creatine monohydrate?
Creatine monohydrate has been used in sports nutrition for well over a decade. You can get it at any GNC. It's very inexpensive.
Perfect. That's great. What are some other tips, real quick, just in the short amount of time we have remaining?
In the short amount of time remaining, I would say another option to look at is what's called protein cycling, and this is the opposite of high protein. This means that you're actually purposefully avoiding any complete proteins for anywhere from, let's say, 16 to 24 hours. It's surprisingly easy to do. You can still eat, but you'd be eating things like spinach, grapefruit juice, perhaps wheat bread, which I don't usually recommend, but you could do it on a cheat day, because they don't contain complete amino acids. And what that triggers is a cellular cleaning process in your body. And there are many who believe that aging is a result of not being able to clean out the cells as quickly as you build up the junk in the cells. So protein cycling, if you just search protein cycling online and Dr. Migneri, M-I-G-N-E-R-Y, then you can find a complete book on the subject.
Ah, oh, that's great. We've been talking to Tim Ferriss, everybody, author of the book, The 4-Hour Body, An Uncommon Guide to Rapid Fat Loss, Incredible Sex, and Becoming Superhuman. Now, you've given us a lot of information, Tim, in a short amount of time. If people want to learn more about you, want to learn more about the book, want to learn more about the regimen, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
I would suggest, if they want to read a few sample chapters and see what it's all about, they can go to www.4hourbody.com. That's F-O-U-R-H-O-U-R-B-O-D-Y.com.
4hourbody.com. Tim, thanks so much. It has been a pleasure having you here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.